All right, in an instant, an auto accident can put you in the worst financial position of your life. It's an absolute must. You got to hire the right lawyer. You're going to make sure that your insurance companies pay you what you are owed. Injury attorney David Femininio and his team, they are exactly who you need to call. They have been making insurance companies pay for over 30 years. They're going to help you with your case as well. David is ready to speak to you personally. Right now, 855-65-CRASH. That's 855-65-CRASH, or you simply go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, I'm Rico Beard. Welcome to the 5-Star Zone. It's a new podcast dealing with college sports, Big Ten, national sports, whether it's football, basketball. We'll also get into a little high school recruiting. Just kind of all over the place. And this is the things that we can't really take that deep of a dive in doing the Valeni Show with Rico. By the way, I'm the host of that show. Evan Jenkins sitting in studio with me. He's going to be helping me out doing this podcast. But yeah, we're going to be talking a lot of college sports. And we're very excited because college sports is back. At least we think college sports is back. At least we're hoping that college sports continue because games keep getting canceled. And, you know, with this whole COVID-19 thing, it's going to be a work in progress. The Big Ten is going to start October 24th. And I think that's what people have been waiting on. Now people can get excited. Now people care about things. So, Evan, how are you doing, man?
I'm wonderful, and I'll be even better when that first ball is kicked off because normalcy will be there a little bit. I know there won't be fans in the stands, but we'll get to see everything that we've waited, you know, all off season for, because we have been anxious, right?
Yeah.
We have seen recruiting. We've seen all of that.
We've seen recruiting. You've heard the stuff. For, you know, Michigan fans, they're excited because, let's face it, if you read it in the papers, you want to see Joe Milton. You want to see how good. Can this kid live up to the hype that has been given to him, which I just totally think is unfair. I'll get into that a little bit later on. But if you're a Michigan fan, is this the year you knock off Ohio State? You know, you had Ryan Day and Harbaugh going back and forth, and Ryan Day, you know, apparently saying he's going to try and hang 100 on or half 100 on Jim. So we have to wait and see how this thing goes, but we get the football back. We really didn't – I don't think people cared too much when they saw the lesser conference playing early on. It was football, and people were like, oh, but it's football. It's Troy State. And no, after the kickoff and the guy took it back, and I didn't care anymore. I turned away. The ACC, it held my attention for a little bit, but let's face it, ACC football is – outside of Clemson, it's just bad football. You got Notre Dame, okay, but now they've canceled 3 games. But even in the regular season, the ACC's not that good when it comes to football. That's why Clemson runs away with the league every year. The SEC finally kicked in, and now it got interesting because now you had Mike Leach at Mississippi State going into LSU and pulling off the upset of all upsets. I don't think anybody saw that. And it was not just how that he did it. Evan, it was how he did it. The SEC is known as the toughest league around. You got to be able to pound the rock. You got to be able to do whatever. Mike Leach said, F that. I'm running the ball for a total of 9 yards. My quarterback's going to throw for over 600 yards. Get ready, because we're just going to keep airing this thing out. He brought air raid to the SEC against the defending national champion. And for the first time since 1998, the national champion lost their first game. Yeah, not a good look. So much so, the Louisiana Attorney General gets angry and sends a letter to the Louisiana governor saying, this is what happens when you don't let fans in the stands. No, you were going to take that beat down regardless. They were just better than you. Now, in all fairness, they didn't have Darryl Stingley Jr., their best corner, probably one of the best corners out there. He wouldn't have helped. 600 yards, you couldn't stop. KJ Costello, right now, David Shaw in Stanford is like, wait, he was our guy? Is that the same KJ Costello?
Well, that wasn't the same LSU team that just won a national title, that's for sure.
No.
And it was so evident watching it because the athletes weren't out there. You know, the LSU team that we saw last year win that national title was a special team.
Yeah.
But they're not Bama. That's not a reload.
But see, here's but this is why you don't get a pass. When you're LSU, when you're Alabama, when you're certain schools, you can reload because you're getting all the top recruits. You're not getting guys like you would see Mark D'Antonio back in the day have to really develop. No, you're getting guy ready right now. You're getting the best wide receivers, the best corners, the best O-linemen. So I expect you to be able to walk in there and represent and not get embarrassed on your home field. I mean, you got Lane Kiffin, who Ole Miss lost, but they looked pretty good in their game against Florida. Florida looks like Florida and Alabama is probably going to be on a collision course to play each other for the SEC championship. I was not impressed at all with Georgia. But with the SEC football, Evan, it held my attention. I was okay. I ended up going about three quarters into the game. The LSU game, I was able to watch the whole thing. But after that, you know, the better teams kind of separated themselves. But like Auburn, Kentucky was just, it wasn't what we thought it was going to be. But I think every Big Ten fan is waiting. And it's a little bit more special for us here because we have a vested interest. This is going to be it. Kevin Warren, 8 games, 8 weeks, guys. And if you don't take, I like what he did because you could tell he didn't want to have the season. He really didn't. But he said, I'm going to set up the parameters. It's like the parent. If you really want to have this party, then you got to clean the house. You got to walk and clean up after the dog. You got to drop your brother off to karate practice. You got to get good grades. You got all of this stuff that if you miss one, can't have the party. And I think he set it up that way where if, you know, your team can't have more than 6 people with COVID and the team plus the coaching staff can't have more than like 9 or 10 people with COVID or else you're not going to play. And if you do get it, you got to sit out, not 14 days, 21 days. You're going to miss 3 weeks if you contract the disease. So guys got to be careful. But I think if in this area, both teams are anticipating it. Michigan more so, hey, can we finally get over the hump? Can we beat Ohio State? Michigan State, what is Michigan State? Mel Tucker came in. Mark D'Antonio left the day before signing day. Tucker got the job, and right as he was getting ready to meet with his team, I remember it vividly. It was the game. It was when Michigan State beat Ohio State. Cassius Winston night, his senior day. They win the title. Tucker's there. He's got some recruits in the audience. We didn't know that that would be the last time you would see a group of people like that again for probably a good 2 years. That night at the Breslin Center was just all fun and games, and now nothing. He didn't get a chance to practice with his team. There was no spring practice. There was no really summer workout sessions. And by the time they were able to work out, half the team seems like they got the disease and they had to sit out. They haven't really practiced. I think Wednesday will be their first padded practice. So with MSU, what's going to happen? Who's the quarterback? I'm assuming it's going to be Rocky Lombardi because Evan – every time, you know, they do something, there's Rocky. They're promoting him on the website. They had a Zoom meeting with reporters, and he was right there front and center. He starts. I don't know if he finishes the season, but I think they're going to give him an opportunity to start. Probably, I don't know, he's the heir apparent. I don't know. I don't know how long this lasts. It could be an Andrew Maxwell type of situation.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. Is it that type of deal where you're seeing, okay, we're not scoring points with him. We got to try something else.
I had to be honest with you. I keep hearing from people very close to the program, people who've seen the practices, people who know. And you know, because I like Theo Day, and they're like, dude, Peyton Thorne is the guy. Peyton Thorne. This from players. This is from coaches. They're singing Peyton Thorne's praises. I got a feeling because if you're Michigan State, you treat this 8-game season as if it's an 8-game spring practice. You're getting ready for the 2021 season. That's a season that Mel Tucker, I think, will be judged. Nobody can judge this man this year. And guys, before you say, oh, there you go with your excuse. It's not an excuse. He never got a shot to even practice with his team for what, 6-7 months later?
Yeah. Is there, like, will there be a lack of loyalty? And what I mean by that, yes, Rocky Lombardi is an upperclassman, but yes, this is also a new coach that might be looking for something different than Rocky gives. So he might look to an underclassman and Thorne.
Well, yeah, there's no loyalty because I didn't recruit any of you guys, and I don't really care if I hurt your feelings. That was the one thing about D'Antonio. He was a little too loyal, as you know, with the coaches and with the players. And the one time D'Antonio wasn't loyal was probably the best movie ever made when he made the switch and went with Connor Cook. And the rest was history. Connor Cook goes out, goes 36-5, and those are the greatest days of Michigan State history for a long time. And you got to hope that this new coaching staff just says, hey, we're going to go with the best guy. Whoever's the quarterback for the Ohio State game, I think is the quarterback, barring injury, for the 2021 season.
I also wonder, like, the feeling out process. So you get a new coach. It's the same as going into a new job. You feel out your employees. You feel out your boss. Do you think that played into it, not being able to be around him for workouts, being around him for practice? Would that factor into just almost slowing down the pace that they're ready to go at? You know what I mean? Like, you know how your coach reacts to a certain way of doing something. You know what I mean? They don't have that ability right off the bat.
And no, they don't.
So they're still trying to get into that.
And they don't. But I think that because Rocky Lombardi actually has actual game experience, I mean, Theo Day got in for like 3 plays. D'Antonio got angry at him and yanked him. We still don't know why. We were in that room that day. And it was like, well, Coach Theo Day actually played better than Rocky Lombardi. D'Antonio just didn't like him. I don't know what it was. Peyton Thorne is the quarterback that everybody keeps talking about, and we'll have to see if Rocky can keep that job or if they make the switch. But if you're MSU, honestly, looking at their schedule, Evan, realistic expectations, you can probably win 3 games. Looking at Rutgers, and I do think because Michigan State kept their mouth shut, Rutgers has a brand-new coach. They kind of kept their mouth shut because they were sick the whole time.
Right.
Guys, we're going to give you that easy game. Nebraska, you want to talk trash? Here you go. Why don't you start the year off with Ohio State? Good luck with that.
Funny how that works out, huh?
Yeah. So I think Tucker can get a victory there. Probably, I think, Northwestern and Maryland. And I'm saying they can get a toss-up. Either Indiana or Iowa are probably 2 games that they could possibly win. Iowa... Here's what you got to remember, folks. There is no crowd. So playing at Iowa is normally a death sentence. There's nobody there. And on top of that, the entire team seems like hates Kirk Ferentz. I mean, remember, they all revolted over the summer. All the social injustice was going down and you found out about the trainer and all of that stuff. I don't know where Iowa's psyche is going to be. Indiana could be the sleeper team in the Big Ten East. And maybe the team that nobody's talking about. Wow. Everybody's talking about Ohio State. But Michael Penix Jr., in my opinion, probably the second or third best quarterback in the league this side of Justin Fields. This kid is mobile. This kid has done it before. And I remember watching him last year against MSU. I was like, he's just a freshman. He's going to be a beast. I mean, so much so that it forced the other quarterback to leave and go transfer to Northwestern.
He can change a game all on his own. We saw it, and unfortunately, he got injured last year, so you couldn't see it all year long. But he had Indiana trending up. I know Indiana trends up quite a bit, never gets over that hump, but he could be the player that does that.
Right. Indiana's going to break a few hearts this year. But I think those could be the toss-up games. If not, I think MSU could win 3 games, go 3-5. Once again, I judge Tucker starting next year. Now, if he had a spring, if he was able to pick his quarterback, I would have a different opinion on that. But I'm just being fair about it, plain and simple. Now, I also found out offensively, the best information that I can get, multiple formations. It's not married to a pro style. They're not married to the stuff that you saw D'Antonio do. It's kind of based off of what's working, the defense. It sounds like you could see some spread. Sounds like you could see pro style. Sounds like you could see 4 wideouts. Sounds like you could see a lot of different things. So every time I ask that question, I keep getting it's going to be multiple. It's going to be multiple. We're not married to a certain system. Same on defense. They're waiting to see who they have, and I think they're kind of waiting to recruit the type of players that they need to fill out the type of system that they want. The other thing about Michigan State, you got to Jaden Reed, Western Michigan transfer. Everybody is telling me this guy is going to be special. This is the guy that they kind of wish was able to get cleared last year for waivers, but he had to sit out. He's going to come back. It almost sounds like he's going to be the man at wide receiver between him and Jalen Naylor, but it sounds like Reed is already taking over, and he's not backing down. He says his whole career, he's been a three-star guy going up against five-star corners his entire career. He was freshman of the year in the MAC. I mean, it looked like he was going to be the heir apparent to Corey Davis. He's going to be the real deal from what I understand. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. So, but the expectations, I think, I don't have high hopes. If they break even at 4-4, I consider that a win. There's no bowl games. You'll have that ninth game, but I don't know who they're going to play. But if they can finish the regular season 4-4, great. I don't see them, Ohio State, no. Penn State, no. Michigan, it's too early in the season. I don't know if they could go there and win. But once again, there's no crowd in the Big House. So, you're seeing that with the NFL games. It's a little different when you don't have 110,000 people yelling and screaming. It's just kind of a scrimmage that at the other team's field. So we got to see what happens with MSU. But as far as Michigan goes, I think the biggest question is Joe Milton really this guy? Because I'm not trying to be funny. 6 months ago, Dylan McCaffrey, it was articles about how he's a dark horse candidate for the Heisman. So how'd you go from the dark horse to now reading that this guy is Cam Newton and, all of these different people rolled up into one? Like, haven't we learned our lesson? Seriously? I mean, this goes back to Sam McGuffey. How about we just let guys be? Because the irony is, it's the people who don't get the hype that go to Michigan and become something. It's the Mike Harts of the world. Like, wow, this guy just kind of came out of nowhere. So, and then you got what's his name? The wide receiver last year, who's their leading receiver this year, the two-star kid. I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, Ronnie Bell.
Ronnie Bell. Yeah, Ronnie Bell, two-star kid. Ronnie Bell came in and made an impact. To me, kind of played better than all of those other 4- and 5-star wide receivers that they had. So, yeah, he dropped a pass against Penn State, but it was because of him that they were in that game. So I say, how about we just let the guys develop? But it's too late. Can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Milton is getting all the hype. We're going to have to – they did get Jalen Mayfield back. That's going to help because your offensive line has 4 new starters plus a first-round pick in Jalen Mayfield. So that helps in probably bringing some continuity there. You got to see, from what I understand, they said Milton can throw the ball. He's got arm strength like crazy. It's just more he can make plays with his feet. He can extend plays, but also – that's also the time where you may see the interceptions where he tries to do a little too much. Kind of like what you caught with Kyler Murray against the Lions last week, where he just like, dude, why didn't you just run out of bounds? Why didn't you just take the sack or get tackled? But they start out with Minnesota on the road. Michigan is normally not a good road team, especially early in the season. That's normally a loss for them. Evan, I'll say this. If this team wins at Minnesota, now you're looking at a team that I would say could probably go 6-2. If they lose at Minnesota, then I'm going to question. Now I'm saying now I'm going to back that down to maybe 5-3, 4-4, because they would have still Wisconsin, Penn State, and Ohio State staring at them. Once again, the Wisconsin game will be at home, but geez, I mean, they got steamrolled last year. I was on the sideline at Northwestern, and it was like the news couldn't come out fast enough. The score kept changing. It was like, all right, we got an update. No, wait a minute. Hold on. We got another update. Wait. It's like 28-0. And we're like, wait, it's just 7-0 here. Like, what the heck is going on in Madison? So If they lose to Minnesota, I think I got to see then how this happens, you know, because it's possible. P.J. Fleck, Tanner Morgan, third-year quarterback. I've always been a big fan of the third-year QB because, to me, that's a coach on the field. That's a guy who can really help you out. That's a guy who knows things. P.J. Fleck, when he got there, and this is kind of how I wish that Mel Tucker would do, Fleck said, if you don't buy into my system, you can go. And a lot of the seniors and juniors and seniors, they didn't buy in. And the next thing you know, he said, fine, I'll play with my freshmen. And in a few years, we'll be good. And now they're good. Tanner Morgan at QB, he's probably between him and Michael Penix Jr. I like both of those guys. He gets plays done. I guess they're still trying to get Rashad Bateman, wide receiver of the year, back. They get him back. You know, Michigan without the Ambry Thomas in the secondary, it could be a long day for them. I mean, ironically enough, at the end of week one, Michigan State could be 1-0 and Michigan could be 0-1.
Yeah, I almost feel that if Michigan goes out and beats Minnesota, which I think is their biggest challenge all the way up until Ohio State, and the only reason I say that is they're going to throw a different offense at them than they're used to. They know what they're getting from Wisconsin, so if they can man up, right, they should win that game. They know what they're getting with Penn State. And I think that Minnesota game is the worst possible opener for them because of what they can throw at them.
Right.
You know, Michigan's throwing out a new quarterback, like you said. You know, their running back situation, whether it's Charbonneau or you're getting back Chris Evans, and you know, the receivers are new this year. I mean, there's question marks for them where you said at Minnesota, they know what they're putting out there.
Yeah.
This is it. You've seen it. And they're a dangerous team. They showed it against Auburn last year.
Yeah, but here's the thing about Wisconsin. Man, Wisconsin grows offensive linemen and running backs on trees. They are never going to be
no doubt.
If Wisconsin can run the ball, then they can play action you to death. And that's how they beat you. It's that slow, painful death. They don't – unlike what they did to Michigan, it's normally like it's not a runaway type of game. It's just – it's a backbreaker. It's – third and five, and we're going to stop the run. Oh, you passed it to the tight end, you bastards. And the next thing you know, yeah, you're taking an L. So Wisconsin, Penn State, and Ohio State, I think, are the three toughest games outside of the Minnesota game. Mm-hmm. But that's going to set the table. I mean, if they can go and win a game on the road and just
their confidence, too. You know what I mean? Just playing together. And it could be huge for them. I mean, we've seen this show before where if they start off strong, they're going to get rolling. But there's that big mountain at the end of the year that they got to get through.
The other game, and people laugh at me, but I'm telling you, it's the Indiana game.
Well, every year.
The reason why Indiana gives Ohio State the blueprint of how to beat them. Indiana just doesn't have the Jimmies and the Joes to beat Michigan. They don't have the athletes, but their formations and scheme. Ohio State just basically records that game, runs the same plays with faster players, and beats Michigan. But Michael Penix Jr. didn't play last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Peyton Ramsey did. Michigan, back from the days of Bo and Lloyd and Gary Moeller, the Achilles heel, a mobile quarterback. They can't stop them. They've never been able to stop them. That's Penix. Penix has legs. He's got an arm. He can get the job done. And it won't be a walk in the park. This will be a game. Man, I take Indiana in the points. Michigan may win, but you're not going to feel comfortable. You're going to be squirming in your seat because you guys haven't seen him play. And trust me, that mobile quarterback is giving Michigan fits. That's the one constant. I don't know why they can't, but they have never been able to stop a mobile quarterback. He is the equalizer. Even on bad teams, the Drew Stanton game, they couldn't stop Drew until Drew got his leg broke, and then they came back and won that Braylon Edwards game.
Damon Dowdell plays in different games.
Well, he shouldn't have had a scholarship, but that's a whole different thing. But, looking at that, it still looks like it's Ohio State's to win, and I think that's what they're banking on. The college football playoffs, the Pac-12 is now going to probably get a team in there. I think this all falls apart if a couple things happen. And, you know, if Alabama somehow loses, then we're in trouble. If Clemson loses, we're in trouble. And honestly, this is the year because there's going to be no bowl games. And I know the NCAA would never do this, but Evan, if you were ever going to expand the playoffs, even like in baseball and basketball and one-off, we're only going to do this year. NFL, they're going to add a team. Here's what we're going to do. This year, we're going to expand this thing to 8 teams because there's no bowl games, and we're going to just let these 8 teams hash it out and see what happens. That, in my opinion, is the smartest thing to do to keep the interest, because if you're just going to take the top 4 teams and people are like, well, yeah, but the semifinal games aren't any good. Okay, but who's to say that the quarterfinal games won't be good? Because you're matching teams that are more equally at the same level in the quarterfinals. The semifinals is normally, you could tell who the two best teams are and who are the two also-rans. But if you have a bunch of quarterfinal games, I think you'll have exciting games.
It's going to be interesting because you look at the rankings even just now. Ohio State started at 2, dropped. Now they re-enter, they're at 6, right?
Right.
So let's say all the teams above them keep winning, but Ohio State loses further in the year. You know what I mean? But they haven't gotten to top 5 because all the teams above them keep winning. How much will that affect, you think? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but see, you know what? I think
if there's teams right now that don't belong, they won't be there in a regular college football year.
See, here's the thing that'll blow it up. Because as I said, if Ohio State or Alabama or any of these teams loses, now it's because they got to pass. Ohio State wins the Big Ten, they're in. Doesn't matter. You won. Hypothetically speaking, Indiana wins the Big Ten. Now you're asking, because there's no apples-to-apples comparison, everybody's only playing their own conference. So you don't know. See, with crossover games, you could kind of say, well, early in the year when Ohio State beat Oregon, so we could eliminate the Pac-12, and maybe Indiana's that good because they beat Ohio State. Because you don't have that, it's all reputation, which is why I said this is the year to expand, because it's Alabama in.
Yeah.
Ohio State in. Clemson is in. Oklahoma's out because they lost. So, Oregon, here's your chance. If you want in, run the table, you're in. We'll squeeze you in at the last second. Other than that, they'll probably go with 2 SEC teams. Notre Dame, you're too sick to play. You've missed your third game. You're probably not going to be eligible. So that's where we're at right now.
The drama's going to be so good, too, because you might see, in a crazy world, a Big Ten team win it at 6-2. You might see it.
Right.
Who knows what's going to happen this year?
Are you going to put a 2-loss team in there?
And that's the drama that I'm talking about.
Because now, here it comes, you don't have the juice. Your conference is looked at as a bunch of quitters. So, yeah, Big Ten, you guys didn't want to play early. You had an advantage of waiting. We came out and played in September. You had to get your little COVID daily test. You weren't man enough. You're not going to get in there. Certain teams will always get put in. But, look, do you really want to see a Final Four of Wisconsin, Miami, Oklahoma State, and Florida?
Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah, Mississippi State. It sounds great. It may be exciting games, but they're not the household brand names that you want to see.
And your average Joe is not going to watch it.
No. Miami will watch for the turnover chain. Mississippi State, press conferences will be fun, but that's about it. Wisconsin, they play power football, but it's boring football. Mm-hmm. So with the Final Four, that's why I think this is the year you expand it and let 8 teams get in there. Because there's no bowl games. This way you can keep interest. You can let teams like BYU, who are just an independent, and are out there mollywhopping everybody, but for some reason, nobody cares about them. This is what you need to do. So if I was a college football committee, that's where I would go. But, yeah, Big Ten season is going to start up. And, I mean, we'll learn a lot. You know, week one, we'll learn a lot about Mel Tucker and his offense and his schemes going up against Rutgers, which I think is a winnable game. I think that's will be good for their psyche, because then they got to play Michigan in week two, and Michigan is going to be coming off of Minnesota. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. They normally just don't do well on the road to start off with. So we'll see what happens. But then, yeah, it leads up to week two, Michigan, Michigan State, which doesn't have the same feel.
No.
I mean, in theory, Michigan should win that thing. handily.
They should really bully them like they did last year.
Yeah, it should be.
And the only thing that Michigan State might have going for them is that Michigan doesn't have tape.
They don't have tape.
The only thing.
They don't have tape, and Michigan State brought back a lot of the defensive coaches. So the defense may still be consistent, but offense, you're right. Don't really know. And if you jump to a big lead against Rutgers, you don't have to show anything.
That right now, just looking at it from weeks away, that's the only hope that I give them. But they should just bully them.
Evan, I've watched a lot of Colorado games just trying to figure out Mel Tucker. The best thing I can say is they're right. Just multiple formations. There was no thing. They did say that they're going to try to get the ball in playmakers' hands, which is why I go back to Jaden Reed.
Well, Jalen Naylor.
Right. You know, D'Antonio just kind of force-fed you certain people, and it was just like, dude.
Well, you were getting what he was running no matter what.
Like,
and
why are we feeding the ball to Connor Haywood? He's not picking up the first
down. What
you're
saying is it sounds like he's going to do what needs to be done for the players he has.
Yes.
Especially at this moment, because they are, you know, players that
– Well, here's the thing. Mike Leach showed, you know what? You run my system. You trust in me. We can go out and do some big things. They may laugh and snicker at you, but at the end of the game, they took the L, you got the W, so life goes on. So.
Exactly.
All right, so we will be back next week. Thanks for tuning in and listening to the 5-Star Zone. For Evan Jenkins, I'm Rico Beard. See you guys next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.